It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome to the Virtual Bible Study. We're glad that you're with us on the program tonight. We hope you'll stay tuned. We've got an interesting discussion planned for tonight. Want to talk about the book of Revelation. It's a book that doesn't get talked about very much. Often by many religious groups. Some religious groups focus on it quite a bit, and often those groups that do focus on it are misunderstood and are not applying the book of Revelation appropriately. We want to talk about that on the Virtual Bible Study tonight, and we look forward to hearing from you. What do you think about the book of Revelation? Do you believe that many are in error on the book of Revelation, or do you believe that many people are teaching the book of Revelation as it should be taught? What are some false doctrines maybe that you believe some hold with regards to the book of Revelation? We'd like to hear from you on the program tonight. The ways you can participate in the program are 931-381-4567 on the telephone or by emailing questions at collegeview.com or by using Skype by clicking on the button on the page that you use to join the program. Click on the Skype button on our website or Skype the Virtual Bible Study and talk with us over the internet tonight. My name is Jacob Gwynn, and my father, Greg Gwynn, is out of town. We're trying to link up with him on the phones as we speak, and Mike Johnson, a member of the College View Church, is here with me in the studio to help with the discussion tonight. Hello, Mike.
Jacob, good to be here. Looking forward to an interesting study tonight.
I appreciate you taking time to be a part of it, Mike, and we appreciate you listening at home tonight, and we hope you'll participate. This is a listener participation program in which you can join in on the discussion and share your comments with people around the world who are listening to the Virtual Bible Study tonight, and we'd like to hear from you by emailing us, questions at collegeview.com, calling us at 931-381-4567, or by Skyping us by clicking on the Skype button on our website. We look forward to an interesting discussion tonight. Well, Mike, as we look at the book of Revelation, it is a book that many in the religious world have misapplied, misunderstood, and come up with some false conclusions about. And it's important that we look at the characteristics of the book. And really, as we look at any book in the Bible, we need to know the context of the book and who it was written to. And in the case of the book of Revelation, it was written to a specific audience, and that audience needs to be understood so that we can understand what the book of Revelation is teaching.
Exactly right, Jacob. As you mentioned, the specific audience in Revelations 1:4, as is mentioned there, where it says John to the seven churches which are in Asia. So you're right, the book of Revelation, obviously not quite the same as the previous books there in the New Testament, as it is addressed to a specific audience, and we'll look at other things that will be specific to as well.
That's right. Now, as we look at the book of Revelation, it definitely was written to a specific audience, but that doesn't negate the teachings of the book of Revelation. You know, every book of the Bible was written to a specific audience. I would say we could say that very confidently. For instance, the book of Galatians was written to the churches of Galatia. The book of Acts was written to Theophilus. And so the books are addressed to specific audiences, and that doesn't negate the teachings. We can't just say, well, the book was written to the churches of Asia, and therefore we don't gain anything from it. We still gain from the book of Revelation, but it's important for to understand who the book was written to so that we can understand the audience and what is the author was trying to get across.
Exactly right. What's happened is there's been a lot of misapplication of certain scriptures about the end times or the great tribulation or rapture. It is referred to, and you're absolutely right. We can make the good point that just because it is written doesn't mean that we are to ignore, even though it's written to a specific audience, as Paul wrote to Timothy, certain things doesn't mean that we need to ignore, you know, what the admonitions that he gave to Timothy. Same thing as we look at the book of Revelation here.
Exactly. Let's go to the phones, and let's see if we have a connection here. Hello, Dad, are you there?
Yeah, we're here, Jake.
You're out in Iowa tonight, and I think you've got some guests with you there.
Yeah, I'm preaching this week in Grinnell, Iowa. And Jacob, we're getting a bad feedback on this. I don't know if this is going to work or not. But I'm preaching this week in Grinnell, Iowa, and the preacher here, Al Sandlin, joins us on the telephone, and also one of the members here, Pat Blythe. Pat's one of our loyal listeners in Iowa and often listens and participates in the virtual Bible study. We're glad to have both of them with us.
Al and Pat, thank you for taking time to be a part of the program with us tonight.
Delighted to be here. Thank you.
Well, guys, we were talking before you joined us about the book of Revelation and how it is addressed to a specific audience. We made the important point that, you know, the New Testament was written to specific audiences. For instance, the book of Galatians was written to the churches at Galatia, Ephesians to Ephesus. But the book of Revelation was also written to a specific audience. That doesn't negate the teachings of the book, but it is important to understand the audience so we can understand God's message to those people.
I think that's right, Jacob. We should try to understand the book the way they would have understood it. And if we attach a meaning to the book of Revelation that would have been senseless or meaningless to the people who initially received the message, then that's probably a wrong interpretation. I remember back several years ago when the first Gulf War was about to break out, there were some late-night TV evangelists who imagined themselves to be sort of experts in prophecy, and they were going to the book of Revelation and saying that the things that were about to transpire in the Middle East were the fulfillment of things written in the book of Revelation. Well, as it turned out, that first Gulf War wasn't very much of a war at all. It was over within a few days, and of course, then those prophecy experts sort of disappeared into the woodwork. But you could have guessed ahead of time that their interpretation was flawed, because what significance would a minor military skirmish in the Middle East, what significance would that have had to people reading the book of Revelation in the first century? They wouldn't have gotten anything out of it at all. And so we need to understand to whom was this book written so that we can then use that principle to help us understand the kind of things that are discussed within the book.
Exactly. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 again says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace unto you. And then in verse 11 of chapter 1, we read, what thou seest, the instruction to John was, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, to Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And so we see that the book was addressed to specific people. We need to understand then those people, the audience, and what God was trying to get across to them. What are your thoughts about Revelation? The book is often misinterpreted. What are some false doctrines that you see in the religious world today that arise from the book of Revelation? Or if you want to give us a hard question about the book, we have some people on the phone that we can throw that question to. Let us know your thoughts about the book of Revelation tonight. 931-381-4567, VBS, or the questions at collegeview.com, or Skype, the virtual Bible study, to join in on this discussion tonight. Well, there was a specific audience, and there was a specific setting, Mike, of the book of Revelation. It's important to understand that as well.
Exactly right, Jacob. Revelation 2:10 says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
All right, so as we talk about the specific audience, you guys out there in Iowa can comment on that. But the people that that God was writing to here in the book of Revelation were going through some difficult times. Their setting was one of great and intense persecution.
That's exactly right. You know, it's hard for us to even really relate to what was going on with them, because we've lived all our lives enjoying religious freedom and a freedom from persecution, or at least certainly a freedom from physical persecution. But in the case of these Christians, as Mike just read there from chapter 2, verse 10, the Lord said things were bad and would probably get worse before they got better. In fact, it was so bad that chapter 6, verse 9 of Revelation says, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Some had even been put to death because they were serving the Lord. And again, we're far removed from such a day as that, and we can be thankful that that our lives are not threatened by virtue of being Christians. But that's what they were dealing with. And so when you consider that that's what they were dealing with, then you can realize that they needed some help and encouragement. They needed to know that God was aware of their troubles, that God was going to make it right, and that they were on the right side, and that God would ultimately, God and his people would ultimately win this great conflict that was underway.
And Al, you can comment on this. We were talking to a specific audience in a specific time. They were going through some difficult persecutions, but there are prophecies mentioned in the book of Revelation. Without a doubt, the book is full of prophecy, but the prophecy is about things that were going to come to pass about very, very briefly, very shortly from the time that the book was written.
That's very interesting that you would mention that, Jacob, because right here in the very first part of Revelation chapter 1, he says in verse 3, for the time is at hand. So at the very beginning of the book of Revelation, it is signified to John of things that are just imminent, that are going to be happening very shortly. And very shortly has nothing to do with 2,000 or 3,000 years or 1,000 to 2,000 years down the road. And then at the end of the book of Revelation in chapter 22, he once again makes note of the fact that the things that are in that are written in this book are going to come to pass in a very short time. So if you look at what the Bible actually says about this, this is designed to be a letter of comfort and consolation to those that are being persecuted. And as your dad said a few moments ago, yes, it's bad now, and it may last for a while, but ultimately and finally, you will be victorious. So don't give up the fight. Keep being faithful, and you'll get that crown of life.
What do you think about it? Go ahead.
I think it's real important, Jacob, to stress that those statements, both at the start and the end of the book. Al mentioned chapter 1, verse 3, and also in chapter 22, verse 10, it says, the time is at hand. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, these things must shortly come to pass. And so anybody today who is viewing the book of Revelation as though it is discussing modern political events in the current era has got a lot of explaining to do. How do you fit that interpretation within the statements of the book of Revelation that say the time is at hand, these things must shortly come to pass? It just doesn't fit. We're living nearly 2,000 years after the book of Revelation was written, and if the things haven't happened yet, then John was wrong when he said these things must shortly come to pass.
We're talking about a book written to specific people who are going through specific challenges in their life, trying to be faithful to God. They were being persecuted. And this book is a book of prophecy about things that must shortly come to pass, things that were imminent. That's what the book is about. What do you think about the book of Revelation? We're going to take a break, but we'd love to hear from you. Take the time during the break to send us an email. Let us know about some false doctrines that you know about that people in the religious world hold to, that originate from a misunderstanding of the book of Revelation. 931-381-4567, questions at collegeview.com, or Skype the virtual Bible study to join in on the program tonight. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Are you listening? There's going to be a test on this stuff. Stay tuned. The virtual Bible study will be right back after this.
Do you remember when the pulpit was used for the purpose of convicting sinners and teaching them how to be saved? Are you tired of preachers who seem much more inclined to entertain their audience than to teach the truth? Does it seem the sermons you are hearing each week could have easily been given at a PTA meeting or a social club? Do you remember when sin was called sin and at the end of the sermon you knew by book, chapter, and verse what the preacher was talking about and why? The College View Church is still preaching the old Jerusalem gospel that you read about in your Bible. They invite you to investigate for yourself. Come and see. Visit the College View Church of Christ.
Hello, my name is Preston Jackson. I'm from Valdosta, Georgia, and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study on Thursday night.
Share your comment with the world. Call in now and be a part of the virtual Bible study. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back to the virtual Bible study tonight. We're glad that you've taken time to join us, and we hope you will comment and join in on the discussion. As we talk about the book of Revelation, it is a book that is commonly misunderstood in the religious world, and we want to talk about it and what it means to us today. Does the book of Revelation have any application to us today? How can we understand the book of Revelation? 931-381-4567, questions at collegeu.com, or Skype us to join in on the discussion tonight. We're talking with my father, Greg Gwynn, Al Sandlin, and Pat Blythe out in Grinnell, Iowa tonight. And Mike Johnson is in the studio with me as we talk about the book of Revelation. You know, as we talked, Dad, before the break, we've got to understand the context, basically, is what we're saying of the book of Revelation. Failure to understand the context can really get us into trouble in any book that we're studying in the Bible, but especially the book of Revelation.
Well, and part of the problem is, Jacob, is that the kind of the style of writing of the book of Revelation lends itself to people making wild speculative guesses about what it says and what it means. But we should be aware. Are you hearing us okay, Jacob?
Well, we were a little bit better before, but we can make out what you're saying there.
Okay, let's go back to
different setup. Go back to plan A, and
that's that work better.
That works a little bit better.
Okay, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, we've already mentioned that verse, and I think it's interesting that the very first verse of Revelation is one of the most important verses in understanding what's written. It mentions that things must shortly come to pass, but it also mentioned that these things were signified by the Lord's angel, and the word signified means that it was spoken in signs. And so we're tipped off in the very first verse that the book of Revelation is going to be different. It's going to use symbols and figures. It's going to use things to represent other things. In the book of Revelation, there's a special significance to numbers and to colors and so forth. But that symbolic or figurative language is used for emphasis, just as we often use figurative language to emphasize things in our daily conversation. But the problem is, if you try to attach a literal meaning to a figurative statement, then you almost always are going to get yourself messed up. For instance, Jacob, if I was to say to you, I'm so hungry I could eat a bear. Well, if you took that literally and you went out and began to prepare bear meat for me, I probably wouldn't be very satisfied with it. I understand, I've never tried it, but I understand bear meat's just nearly impossible to eat. If you take the statement literally when it was not intended literally, then you have big issues.
Well, let's look at that again, what you said there. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 says that the angel of the Lord signified it unto his servant John. These things were signified, Al, and we don't have to get very far into the book of Revelation. There in verse 8 even, Jesus refers to himself as the Alpha and the Omega, or we would say the A and the Z. There's some figurative language there right at the beginning of the book of Revelation, and it goes throughout the book. We see symbols used to describe a meaning there to us.
That's right, Jacob, and one of the reasons that was done was because of the persecutions they were undergoing at the time, and they were John was able to encrypt a message, if you use today's vernacular, encrypt a message to the Christians by using these various signs and symbols. And I'm here to tell you that the signs and symbols of Revelation meant something to those Christians who were being persecuted. They didn't need a code book to decode Revelation. They knew exactly what those colors meant, what the numbers meant. And as I frequently tell people where I preach, we're reading other people's mail. And we're, as was said earlier in the program, we're thousands of years removed from the events of that time. And when we're reading other people's other people's mail, and we don't have the circumstances that they did, we're going to come away with some false conclusions if we don't pay attention to every word that is written. And the fact that this has been signified is absolutely essential to understand.
Well, Al, I like the language that you use there about reading other people's mail. But, you know, when we talk about reading other people's mail today, that's something that's somewhat forbidden. But in this instance, we should be reading other people's mail. But as you suggested, we've got to be very careful that we understand and come at this letter from the same perspective that those people would be coming from back then.
Jacob, let me give you an example of this problem that we're talking about. When you take the figurative statements of Revelation and try to make literal application of them. We're going to talk here in a little bit in our program. We want to get a little bit specific into the rapture and the tribulation that some people are so carried away with, and there's so many theories and so much guessing going into some things involving what they refer to as the rapture, and also into the word tribulation, which is found in the scriptures but has a specific meaning. But in association with it, some of those things are connected to the theory of premillennialism. The theory of premillennialism says that Jesus is going to come back to earth. The details of that we'll discuss in a little while, what may precede that. But premillennialists think that Jesus will come back to earth and set up a 1,000-year reign on earth. And if you wonder where they ever got the idea of a 1,000-year reign, it would be the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 20. In fact, it's the only place in the Bible that mentions anything about a 1,000-year reign. But if our listeners will look in Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse 1, John says, "I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into a bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Well, there's the 1,000 years mentioned, but notice the immediate context. Verse 1 says that there was a bottomless pit. Well, if you think about that for just a moment, you have to know that can't be literal. No literal, real pit is bottomless. You can have a deep pit. You can have a really, really deep hole in the ground, but any real pit has a bottom to it. This was a bottomless pit. Therefore, this has to be figurative or symbolic. And then it mentions also a chain, a great chain that was going to be used to bind up Satan. Well, that can't be literal either. There is no literal chain, no real physical literal chain that could bind up Satan. Satan is a spirit being. You can't bind him with a literal chain. So that has to be figurative too. So this paragraph here, which mentions the 1,000 years, just rings out that it is symbolic or figurative language. But some people want to ignore all of that indication, and they want to grab hold of that 1,000 years and say that's literal, a real, literal 1,000-year reign of Christ, when the context of this statement clearly indicates that it's being spoken in figurative or symbolic terminology.
It's very important that we understand that, because if we don't understand the symbols, we can come up with all kinds of crazy doctrines, and sadly, many in the religious world have done just that. What do you think about the book of Revelation? We'd like to hear from you. Do you know of false doctrines that people hold, or maybe you've encountered some doctrines that you think sound a little bit fishy? Maybe you want to have some questions about them. Send us an email to questions@collegeu.com or call us at 931-381-4567, or you can use the Skype button on our website to contact us on the program tonight. Well, finally, we need to understand as we look at the book of Revelation, Al, that it was written for a specific purpose, and that was to encourage and exhort those who are going through the difficult time to endure because of the blessings that God would bestow upon them if they were faithful.
That's exactly right. And tragically, there are those who are proposing a doctrine of a great tribulation, and they get that idea from the book of Revelation, and we'll look at that passage in just a minute. But there is a debate among the premillennialists as to whether the Great Tribulation is going to occur before or after Jesus removes his church from the earth, and proponents of that false doctrine assert that at the first stage of Christ's coming, the saints will ascend to meet him and remain with him in the heavens for a period of time. And during that interval, there'll be a time of trouble, or the period of the great tribulation on the earth. But saints will be spared this tribulation because they'll be up in the heavens, they say, with Jesus during that great tribulation. And the truth of the matter is that people were undergoing dire circumstances during the very time that we're speaking of, during the first and second century of the world as we know it. They were undergoing very dire circumstances. And one of the interesting things, Jacob, that I found as I look at Revelation chapter 1 is that in verse 9, John says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Interesting thing that John himself was, he said, I am in tribulation. And here we have false teachers who are saying this great tribulation is yet to transpire. And John himself said, I am in it. And secondly, that I am in the kingdom. Now, isn't that something, that they're still thinking that Christ is going to return and set up a kingdom when John said himself, I am in it? And one of the interesting things that we find over here in verse 19 is that Jesus says to John, John, I want you to write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are and the things which shall be hereafter. Well, John is simply saying that I am going through this tribulation right here, right now, and as I do that, I am in the kingdom. So you can't have it both ways.
Jacob, I think it, I know you're coming up on a break here, but I think that we need to develop this notion of the tribulation a little more thoroughly. I'm sure some of our listeners are familiar with a series of books and some movies that have been made based upon the books called the Left Behind series. And that whole idea is based upon the fact that there will be, as Al just mentioned, the saints caught away in what's referred to as the rapture and a great period of tribulation on earth. I think we can show from the Bible, maybe when we come back from this break, we can show from the Bible that that notion of a future period of tribulation on earth is not taught in the Bible, certainly not in the book of Revelation. The book, just to summarize sort of what we've been saying about the book of Revelation, it was written to these people as they were being persecuted, telling about things that would happen in their lifetimes, written in figurative language for the purpose of comforting them, offering them comfort and consolation. They were in a bad shape. They were being imprisoned. Some were being killed. They were very frightened. They needed assurance that God was still in control and they would be victorious. And I really think that's what the book of Revelation does. It shows Jesus on the throne. It shows the persecutors of the saints being destroyed. It shows the devil himself defeated. It shows martyred saints alive and around the throne of God in heaven. The book of Revelation was for these purposes. But maybe when we come back from this break, we can develop this idea of what does the Bible say about tribulation? Is it past or present or future? Let's talk about that when we get back.
We want to hear from you, 931-381-4567, or questions at collegeu.com, or you can Skype us on the program tonight. What about the tribulation? What do you think about that? Have you heard anybody talk about the tribulation? What about the rapture? What's one we want to talk about as well? You ever heard anybody talk about the rapture? What do you think? How do you defend the idea of the rapture, or how do you refute the idea that there will be a rapture in which people will be suddenly yanked away from the earth and some will be left behind? What do you think about the rapture? Let us know. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back right after this.
These guys are doing all of the talking. We need to hear from you. Call in now. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
Hello. Hey, Matt. No, I don't have any plans for Friday night. What are you doing? Oh, I won't be able to go with you to watch that movie. Because, Matt, the movie is rated R. Hey, why don't you just come over and hang out at my house Friday night? Great, I'll see you there.
Being pleasing to God means that you may have to be different than the crowd, but don't be afraid to stand up for what's right. It just might find it is easier than what you expect. A message brought to you by College U Church of Christ.
Hello, my name's Jeffrey Vernon. I'm 13, and this is the Virtual Bible Study.
Broadcasting around the world with truth that are out of this world. The Virtual Bible Study. Take it away, guys.
And welcome back to the program. We're glad you're part of it tonight. My name is Jacob Gwynn. I'm joined in Columbia, Tennessee with Mike Johnson. You still alive over there, Mike?
I'm still alive and kicking.
All right. And out in Grinnell, Iowa, we have my father, Greg Gwynn, Al Sandlin, and Pat Blythe joining us to talk about the book of Revelation. And guys, glad that you've taken time to call in out there. And, you know, there are I'm sorry?
I was just going to tell you, it's real cold in Iowa tonight.
Well, you're sending some of that down here because it's getting cold down here too. But
It's supposed to be, I think, 16 here tonight. So we're chilling out in Iowa.
Well, you're going through some tribulation, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's the truth.
But well, it's cool.
Tell us a little bit about the tribulation. You know, Al, that word tribulation is used throughout the scriptures. We can read throughout time of God talking about tribulation.
Jacob, before I start that, let me sort of see if I can put this in a chronology the way that the premillennialists present it. They believe that Jesus is going to come back. They believe that there are promises in the Bible that indicate he's coming back, that actually he intended to establish a kingdom on earth when he came the first time but wasn't able to do so, that the Jews sort of unexpectedly rejected him, and they crucified him. Instead of making him king, they crucified him, and so sort of plan B had to go into place, plan B being the church. But the church exists for the purpose of sort of holding place in time until Jesus can come back in the future and set up this earthly kingdom. So they're still looking for that kingdom. Now, they believe that at some point in the future, most of them think it's going to happen soon. They're predicting that there'll be this rapture. And the rapture will be the righteous people of God caught away just instantaneously and without warning. People will be caught away. Some of the listeners who are as old as me or older will remember a sort of a funny bumper sticker that used to be on people's cars. It said, "In case of the rapture, this car will be unmanned." And the idea was that this was a Christian who owned and drove this car. And when the rapture occurred, he expected to be just caught away instantaneously. And his car would just go out of control and careen down the highway because he'd been raptured, caught away to be with the Lord.
Mike, you saw a follow-up bumper sticker to that you were telling us about.
Yeah, it said, "In case of rapture, I get your car." So
I get your car. Yeah. Yeah, there might be a lot of unclaimed cars around. I think you're right. But then, while the righteous people are away from the earth, is this great tribulation is going to take place. I mean, you think about it, all the good people are gone, just the bad people are left, and so there'll be criminal activity and all kinds of immorality and just horrible suffering and tribulation will take place on the earth. And then, after 7 years of terrible tribulation, Jesus will return with his saints and his angels. The great battle of Armageddon will be fought, and of course Jesus will be victorious, and the thousand-year kingdom will be set up on earth. Now, that's a pretty neat theory. Problem is, it's not supported in the scriptures. Al's done some work on the tribulation itself, what the Bible teaches about tribulation. Al, lead us through some of those thoughts.
Well, I want to go back all the way to Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, and look at verses 30 and 31, where tribulation is not a concept that is foreign to God at all. As a matter of fact, he told Moses to tell the people of Israel, "When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, he will not forsake thee, nor destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them." Daniel, over in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. And there Daniel says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." So there's tribulation in Daniel. Then I want to fast forward to Christ's ministry, where in Matthew, the 24th chapter, he says to those that he has assembled with him just prior to his crucifixion and trial and crucifixion, he said, "When ye, therefore, shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, Parenthetically, he said, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, which is on the housetop, not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that get sunk in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the prophets rise and show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were even possible, the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. Then in verse 24.
Jacob.
Yes.
Are you hearing us all right?
Yeah, getting a little static here, but...
Jacob?
Yeah, are you all there?
Yeah, we're here. We're getting a lot of feedback on the line. Are you hearing us okay?
We're hearing you fine. Go ahead. Okay, we may have a little bit of trouble here. Let's go ahead.
Dave, we may need to try to connect to you again.
We'll try and reconnect, and we'll talk to you in just a minute.
We're not getting you, Jay. I don't know if you can hear us. We're going to hang up and let you call us back again, try to get a clear connection.
We'll do that. All right, Mike, you want to pick up there? I believe in Matthew chapter 24, we're talking there about the things that were going to happen there in the first century, as Jesus was talking about the difficult times that would come around the destruction of Jerusalem.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, he's talking about in Matthew 24, another passage that is sometimes misused by people not understanding the context of it. And, you know, was Jesus talking about the destruction of Jerusalem? Was he talking about the end of time, in his second coming?
Certainly, and talks about some tribulation there, some difficult times that would come their way. Are you guys back with us now? Hello? Are you back? Well, we're having a little bit of trouble there. Let's go ahead and we'll take a break here, and we'll try and get connected with them. What do you know about the Book of Revelation? Let us know your thoughts. 931-381-4567. questions@collegeview.com is the way to participate in the program, or Skype us to be a part of the program tonight. Stay tuned. The virtual Bible study will continue right after this.
After these important messages, we'll be back to take your comments. Email them during this break.
Do you remember when churches taught the truth in a straightforward and direct way with no sugarcoating? Can you recall when homosexuality was plainly condemned and unscriptural divorce and remarriage was not tolerated? Can you think back to a time when you heard hard sermons on moral issues like dancing, immodest dress, and filthy movies? Do you long for a return to the kind of teaching and preaching that you heard 30 or 40 years ago? The College View Church is trying hard to maintain the same moral principles that have been associated with God's people throughout the ages. They want to hold the line against the drifting that is characterized in so many churches today. Come and see. Visit the College View Church of Christ.
Missed a recent virtual Bible study program? Listen to any of our past programs from the archive section of our website. Now, back to the virtual Bible study.
And welcome back to the technical glitch-laden virtual Bible study tonight.
We had a great tribulation going on here.
We are having some problems, but we're going to make it through. And we'll go back out to Iowa now. You guys can pick up where you left off if you know where you left off.
Well, Al was making the point that the notion of tribulation is really spiced all throughout the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New. There were periods of terrible tribulation that occurred. And many times that tribulation was brought about by people who persecuted God's own people, or sometimes when God sent judgment against nations. Al was reading, I don't know if you caught all of it, he was reading from Matthew chapter 24, in which Jesus connected with the prophecies of Daniel, the things that were about to happen in Jerusalem and Judea. And we know that Matthew 24, Jesus was foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. But he referred to that as a time of tribulation. Are you hearing us okay, Jacob?
We are hearing you. Go ahead.
Okay. Pick that up there, Al.
And so Jesus said, as Greg was pointing out, that there would be the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. We know that happened when Titus, the Roman general, surrounded the city of Jerusalem and besieged it and starved those people out. But Jesus said in Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 24, but in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven will be taken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from the uttermost parts of the earth. You jump over to Revelation, the 7th chapter, verses 13 and 14, and this is where the great tribulation is mentioned. And it's interesting, Jacob, to see what is recorded there in Revelation 7, verse 13. John says, one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. One of the interesting things that we see in this passage is that one of the elders answered and said, what are these things? Not what are these going to be, but it is a present and existing condition, Jacob, there in Revelation chapter 7, verse 13. Okay. What are these things which are, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?
Al, are you trying then to connect the great tribulation that Jesus mentions in Matthew 24, verse 21, with the great tribulation that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 7, verse 14?
No, only to show that that tribulation is not a foreign concept to Scripture, but that the saints that of John's time was undergoing a tribulation.
Okay.
Forewarned his apostles that you're going to undergo tribulation. Well, they did in 70 A.D., and then about 30 years or so later, along comes another tribulation that the people of John's day was undergoing at the hands of Nero and other Roman authorities.
So certainly tribulation is not a foreign concept. And so what then about this idea that there's a great tribulation still to come?
Well, in verse 14, the point to be made is, he said, these are they which came out of great tribulation. So the great tribulation was a time that they were undergoing then and there. And as the program has pointed out early on, Revelation is about present and existing conditions and encouragement to the saints to endure this great tribulation. And you pointed out in Revelation 2 and verse 10, Jesus said to the saints at Ephesus that some of you are going to be cast into prison. And so the point being is that all of this is about a present and existing condition that John was writing about, not some future event.
In relationship to these to this popular series of books and movies, the Left Behind series, what folks need to realize is that they are trying to say that the period of tribulation, in other words, those left behind will have to endure this terrible tribulation. What they need to understand is that, first of all, there is no indication, as the Bible speaks of, a single period of tribulation. There have been multiple times of tribulation through the ages. The book of Revelation is talking about a tribulation that was being suffered by Christians right then in the first century and was not anticipating some future time as a predecessor to the establishment of this millennial kingdom of Christ.
All right, so we should not be looking for a tribulation, is what you guys are saying, that this idea is false.
Well, it might be. I mean, we might suffer a period of tribulation. God's people often have. But the book of Revelation is not talking about a specific time of tribulation that's still off in the future that will happen immediately before some idea of an earthly thousand-year kingdom is set up. That's the part of it. There are places in the world today where God's people are under persecution, suffering tribulation. Tribulation just means hardship, hard time. And there are places, unfortunately, in the world today where some of God's people are suffering a hard time. But the whole idea taught of a single period of great tribulation preceding the thousand-year kingdom, it's not in the New Testament or anyplace else in the Bible.
If you have any comments you'd like to add to the discussion, give us a call at 931-381-4567 or email us questions@collegeview.com or Skype us on the virtual Bible study tonight as we talk about false doctrines in the book of Revelation. Well, guys, any other comments out there?
No, I'm looking at my watch. It looks like you're past due for a break.
Well, we already took it when you guys were having trouble talking to us, so we'll just go ahead and keep on going. Let's talk about the rapture, and you know, that's a common doctrine that we hear about. What about the rapture? Can we find that in the book of Revelation? Mike, what do you see about the book of, or about the idea of a rapture?
The thing that I see, and of course I think Al and Greg probably covered this point, one of the things I was amazed, you know, if you go on the internet and you type in rapture into a search engine and Google it, you're going to come up with over 20,000 hits on, it just amazed me that it's so prevalent, I guess, in today's society, you know, after looking at it and everything. I found this quote on a website, you know, that features you know, that talks about that and everything, and it says, if it has not already happened, it will be discovered one day that millions of people in the world will disappear suddenly. The Lord Jesus Christ will have returned and taken away all true believers and certain others from the world. Do not search for us. We are with the Lord, and we'll be back after the seven-year tribulation when Christ comes with all his saints to destroy Antichrist, the Antichrist, and set up his kingdom. It was just amazing to me to find out, you know, that the rapture was actually that prevalent. I think Greg already mentioned the popularity of the Left Behind series and things like that, especially when it's, you know, so obviously contradictory, at least I guess to us, that it's so obviously contradictory to Scripture.
Hey, Mike, you don't mean to suggest that there's some stuff out there on the internet that might not be true, do you?
No, never.
So you said you had over 20,000 hits on the word rapture?
Over, I believe it was 22,000 some odd, I believe.
Yeah, pretty amazing. You know, the word rapture is not anywhere found in the New Testament. You can search the New Testament through, and the word is not there. The only place that comes even close to teaching what these folks teach about the rapture, remember the rapture is the idea that people will just mysteriously and instantly disappear from the earth. Could be driving down the car, driving down the road in your car, and suddenly you're just gone. There's no place in the Bible that teaches that. There's no, the word rapture is not found in our English versions of the New Testament. The closest that you can come to that is in a passage in 1 Thessalonians 4. And Jacob, Pat's been awful quiet. I'm going to have Pat read for us 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18.
But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve, as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, you, O God, will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall first rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words.
Jacob, that's the passage I think that, if you were to press someone and say, where does the New Testament or the Bible anywhere teach the idea of a rapture? I think that's probably the passage that they would take you to. But I don't find it teaching what they teach. Notice that the saints are going to be, this, I believe this is talking about end time. This is talking about when those who are dead will be resurrected. Jesus spoke about that in John chapter 5. Here's what's kind of interesting. In John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good into the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil into the resurrection of damnation. Jesus said there'd be a single resurrection. All that are in the graves will come forth. It's not going to be one resurrection of the righteous and then a long time later another resurrection of the wicked. All will be resurrected at the same time. And I think in this passage that Pat read here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Jesus is talking about the end of time. The dead in Christ are going to rise. But from the other passage we just read, we know the wicked will rise at that time too. But the righteous are going to rise and be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Those who are still living will be called up to meet the Lord in the air. But notice it also says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's no indication that the Lord is ever going to set foot on earth. This is talking about the end of time, the final resurrection, judgment day, and the end of the world. First Thessalonians chapter 4 is not talking about a rapture preceding this period of tribulation.
So there is not going to be a rapture in which specific people will be raised from the dead and taken away from the earth. We see that instead that when there is a resurrection, it will be inclusive of everyone who is dead, and there will be no selective rapturing.
Jacob, one of the things that kind of underscores what's been said so far about the rapture, I find in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 10, Peter says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up." So there is nothing future. There's not going to, when Jesus comes, when the last trumpet sounds and he comes to take the saved with him to be forever with the Lord in the air, there's not going to be any earth to come back to, because if I understand what Peter is saying, and certainly Peter's not going to write something that's not true, there's not going to be a earth to come back to for a kingdom to be established upon.
That's exactly right. Guys, we have a question from Mike in Columbia, and we'll let you guys out there in Iowa work your brains a little bit there so it doesn't freeze tonight, since it's so cold. You guys need some exercise. Here we go. Maybe someone on the program would comment on Revelation chapter 13, verse 18. Revelation 13, verse 18 says, "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number to the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Mike says there is a lot of speculation about the verse and the number 666. It is believed by many that this refers to the Antichrist. It was in the news in the month of June when the date was 060606. And Mike asks the question then, what about the number 666? You guys want to take a stab at that?
Well, Dave, I think I'll be glad for Alan to join in on this, but I think that's just one of those indications of symbolic language in the book of Revelation. As we said earlier, numbers have significance in this figurative book, and usually in Bible terms, the number 7 is a number of completeness or fullness. Well, 6 is something less than completeness or fullness. 666 would be an amplification of the idea of incomplete, imperfect. And so the idea here of the people who received the mark of the beast, and his number was 666, this is symbolic of people who aligned themselves with the opponents of God and his people. There were forces at work in the world then, as there are today. There are evil ones who oppose God. There are evil ones who will do what they can to keep God's will from being fulfilled. They're not going to succeed ultimately, but there are people who fight against God. The beast in the book of Revelation were those agents of Satan who were persecuting God's people and trying to oppose his cause on earth. And there were some who were aligning themselves with those evil forces. And that's the idea of receiving the mark. You receive the mark of the beast. That is, you line yourself up with those on that side of this great eternal war. In chapter, still in chapter 14 of Revelation, it says, "The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of God, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and who receive the mark of his name." So basically, the message of Revelation is, if you line yourself up with those who are opposing God, you can expect to be punished for doing that. God is going to punish all those who oppose him. And the mark of the beast, the number 666, is just a symbolic way of identifying those people who were lining up with God's opponent.
All right, guys. Well, appreciate you asking the question, Mike. Hopefully that helps to answer it. Well, let's quickly talk about what the book of Revelation means to us then. We know we've talked about this was written to a specific set of people, Mike, that it was written to people who were going through a difficult time, and that it was written in symbolic language. Does the book have any meaning for us? What about it, Al? What would you say about the book of Revelation? Is there any reason to study the book? Can we get any benefit from looking at the book of Revelation?
Obviously, Jacob, its preservation is not insignificant for us. In every, as was mentioned already tonight, in every generation, there are going to be Christians who suffer. 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, Paul says to Timothy that all who live godly shall suffer persecution. It may not be in my generation in this time, but somewhere on this planet there are Christians who are enduring suffering and persecution, and the message is all about enduring that for the crown of life. Don't quit. Do not give up. Stay faithful all the days of your life, and if they take your life, so what? You just get to be in heaven quicker that way.
Exactly, Al. And, you know, Al, we got to be careful because the book is so widely misapplied and misunderstood. Sometimes we shy away from the book of Revelation. We don't need to do that. It is God's word. We should study it. And by studying it, we can really get great comfort because we see clearly throughout the book of Revelation that God is in control. God knows those who are faithful to him, and that God will reward us greatly if we will endure the difficulties we have to endure here in this life.
Jacob, I've heard somebody say before, and I think it's a really good way to summarize the book of Revelation. The theme of the book of Revelation is God wins. And if you want to be on the winning side, you better get with God, because God's going to win this thing, and those who oppose him will not succeed, and they will be punished. And that message is a timeless message. And the book of Revelation was written to those Christians back then as they struggled to serve God. And the same message is true for us today. As we struggle to serve God, we need to realize God's going to win this thing. We want to be on his side.
Exactly, Mike. The instruction of Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 is still pertinent to us today. We need to endure the tribulation and the persecution that we are faced with, so we can be pleasing to God.
Revelation 2:10, Jacob, do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. You will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life.
Exactly. And so that's the message for us that we can take from the book of Revelation, to be faithful to God and to reap the blessings as a result of that eternally. Guys, thanks for joining us out in Iowa tonight.
Well, we started for the technical issues, but we were glad to be able to do it, and appreciate your work there in Columbia, and keep the home fires burning.
All right. Thank you, Al and Pat, for being part of the program tonight.
Thanks for the invitation. It's been very enjoyable.
Thank you. And, Mike, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us tonight.
Not a problem.
Enjoyed the discussion. And thank you for listening. We hope that you benefited from the time that we spent together in the study of God's Word. The book of Revelation is a wonderful book. It is part of God's Word. It is a book that we should study, and it is a book that we should apply to our life. We must be faithful to God throughout the trials of this life so that we can be pleasing to him, and so that we can enjoy an eternity with him in heaven when this life is over. We hope you'll be back here next week to join us on another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. And in the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study his inspired word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.